Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're coming to you this morning from Edmond, Oklahoma, on the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus. And today is December 7th, the 29-year anniversary of the Philadelphia Church of God's founding. So happy anniversary to all of you who are familiar with that. And in my program called Behind the Work on Monday at 11:30, hopefully I'll have a special segment about the anniversary. Well, today we're going to cover a booklet that you can find at thetrumpet.com titled Why Marriage Soon Obsolete. This was written by the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong. And it is a very powerful booklet. It completely justifies why the institution of marriage exists today, even though there are still many attacks against it. Here's what the introduction of the booklet says. Is marriage on the way out? Is adultery still wrong? Is the institution of the home with its family life to disappear from society? How and when did the institution of marriage originate? Does it, after all, serve any necessary purpose? This booklet takes an in-depth look at the institutions of marriage, the home, and family life, and reveals a startling, even shocking truth, which has been altogether overlooked by science, by religion, by education, and by society. What really stood out to me about this booklet was just how far ahead of his time Mr. Armstrong was. He really did see the future because God revealed it to him. This booklet was written back in 1968, so obviously in the post-World War II era. And the family was starting to decline a little bit as America's foundational institution, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it is today. Actually, 50 years later. This book was written 50 years ago, so you can imagine that a lot has changed regarding family. Mr. Armstrong asked a lot of questions back in 1968 that probably people who read the booklet at the time might have laughed at. But time has proven him absolutely right. He's saying here that marriages will be seriously questioned. He asks, is marriage on the way out? He says that marriage may not be the socially required way for sexual union very soon. And then he asks the question on page 2, why marriage? Even the very question seems shocking. Again, written in 1968. Does that question really seem so shocking now? It's extremely common for young children, even 11 and 12 years old, to have boyfriends and girlfriends, for them to grow up having sexual relationships, you know, 14, 15, 20, 25 years before ever getting married, if at all. The trend of cohabiting or living together without being married is completely acceptable today. Having children outside of wedlock isn't even blinked at. And if you look at marriage on a physical level, really all of this does actually make sense. It makes sense that human beings would be behaving this way. Even millionaire athletes with tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars often avoid getting married because they know that if they get divorced, half of all that money, that huge pile of money, ends up going to their spouse. It's almost like, in some ways, our society penalizes those who bother to get married. Mr. Armstrong, here on page 2 of the Why Marriage Soon Obsolete booklet, makes a really great point. He dares to question the institution of marriage, but not with the intent of tearing marriage down. That's why most people question it. Let's look at what Mr. Armstrong writes on page 2. It's worth thinking about. If man appeared by the evolutionary process, gradually descending through millions of years from some lower than human animal species, similar to ancestor, gradually descending through millions of years from some lower than human animal species, similar or ancestor to the anthropoid ape, how and when was the custom of marriage started? And why? Some advanced language there. He got away from me. Continuing the quote, animals are male and female. Mammals reproduce their kind in the same manner as do humans. But animals do not marry. If man is merely the highest of the animals, at what stage of evolutionary development did the near human or the human animal adopt the institution of marriage? And why? So this gets us back to the fundamental question. Really, it's all summed up in the very beginning of your Bible, in the book of Genesis. You have the account of the first man and woman there, and they're living in the Garden of Eden, this most peaceful, beautiful surrounding. And there's two trees in that garden. The one tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God explicitly forbid them from eating from that tree. And the other tree was the tree of life. And if they had eaten of that tree, the world we see around us today would be very different. Everything really gets back to those two trees. If you look at the literature tab at thetrumpet.com, there are something like 80 or 90 books and booklets up there. And there's plenty more magazines and Bible correspondence courses in the archives there. So much material, but really you could distill all of it down to the two trees. Anywhere you see people or families or nations being blessed today, you know that in some way at least, they are eating from the tree of life. If you see people or families or nations being cursed, well, they are eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or it should be called the tree of death. That's really what it is. It really just comes down to, will we obey God or will we not? As we've covered quite a few times on this program and other episodes, evolution is a satanic counterfeit. It runs completely opposite to everything that God reveals. It is Satan's attempt to eliminate God as the creator. At least in our minds. He can't do that in reality, of course. And if we are just evolved basically from nothing over many millions of years, it's completely up to us whether marriage exists. And why would it? If we're just the most advanced of all the animals, why would we come up with marriage when none of the other animals did? It's pretty absurd today, really, at least in my opinion, how much humans glorify animals. I have no problem personally with having a dog that you're close to or something like that, but there are a lot of people out there who have gone to the extremes of buying matching outfits so that they and themselves or they and their dogs can look the same when they go out in public. Just the other day, I saw a commercial that said that humans and animals are the same, so why should our animals eat different from us? Well, I'm certainly not going to be feeding any dog a rare cut of steak. That just seems ridiculous to me. But again, why would that seem ridiculous if we just think that dogs and humans are the same. If we're all just animals, why wouldn't we basically treat animals the exact same way that we treat human beings? All kinds of animal rights organizations today that are more outraged at the mistreatment of animals than they are at the mistreatment of humans. Both are very wrong, but if you had to say which one is more wrong, it should be obvious. So let's get into that question, like Mr. Armstrong asks. Should we really be valuing evolution? Should that be the foundation of our knowledge? Well, we have thoroughly disproven evolution on this program through the other writings of Mr. Armstrong. We know that because God is supreme, because he exists, because he is the creator and the lawgiver, we are required to do what God commands. Like Mr. Armstrong says on page 3, marriage is not necessary for reproduction. That's completely obvious because all the animals can reproduce. Plenty of humans reproduce without being married. We do need to thoroughly examine every one of our beliefs, including marriage, including the existence of God. But again, it's not about trying to disprove any of these beliefs. There is a vast difference between animals and human beings. You can see this on page 4 of the Why Marriage Soon Obsolete booklet. As Mr. Armstrong points out, animals come equipped with built-in instinct. They do not need to learn or be taught. They do not reason out a decision and act on a judgment. Instinct guides automatically. Contrast that to humans. Farther down on that page, page 4, it matures so very much more slowly than animals, speaking of a human baby, yet its potential is infinitely higher. Instead of mere animal brain with built-in automatic instinct, the human baby has a mind. So babies are far more helpless than animals for several years. They can't do anything near what animals can for quite some time. And yet, look at what babies become. You do not see a deer out there in the woods broadcasting on the radio. You just would never even be able to conceive of something like that happening. There's clearly a big difference between humans and animals, and that of itself is proof that God is a creator. It just says right there in Genesis that God created humans after his kind. We're created after the God kind, not after the human kind, after the God kind. Every other animal is created after its own kind. That really does reveal the incredible potential of human beings, that one day we can become gods. Here's what Mr. Armstrong says on page 5, and I'm always blown away by his attacks against evolution. Here's another one on page 5. But let's face it, let's be honest with the question. Isn't it a bit irrational that science has never proved the theory of evolution, yet believes it as a faith? And further, that science has never disproved the existence of the all-intelligent personal being, the Creator God, whose existence is proved and provable? And yet, with few exceptions, scientists refuse even to consider the possibility of the supernatural in their postulates. One writer explained that it is a matter of the reluctance of scientists to accept the existence of God. But it is not mere reluctance. It is psychological rebellion that refuses to accept the fact of the existence of their maker. Mr. Armstrong goes on to say he wrote this Why Marriage Soon Obsolete booklet for those who are willing to consider God, to consider what he says about marriage, to consider a possibility other than evolution. So we're challenging the belief of marriage in this booklet, but We're challenging it with an open mind to see whether it's a worthwhile institution or whether it should be done away with, which is what a lot of people today believe. If you read through this booklet, you'll find the word consider quite a few times. Mr. Armstrong was always a proponent of keeping an open mind when studying the important things in life. Page 7 of the booklet, Mr. Armstrong writes, "Thus God challenges and ridicules the scoffer and shows that ability to prophesy and bring it to pass is proof of God." So here he has just quoted from the book of Isaiah, and God is proclaiming his greatness. He's not stating a series of questions. He's actually saying, "I am God. So prove me wrong. I dare you." That's what God is challenging us to do. Continuing the quote here on page 7, "This one who claims he is God has, in the biblical prophecies, foretold 1900 to 2500 years ago what was to happen to every major city in the world of that time and every nation. And every prophecy has come to pass. How important are God-rejecting scientists compared to the God they refuse to acknowledge?" You can feel the indignation coming out of these pages. Obviously, Mr. Armstrong is disgusted at the deadly leaven of higher education that just basically shuts the human mind off to God. Basically, the education of today convinces people that they are good enough by themselves. In reality, we human beings are pathetic by ourselves. Human beings can die just like the animals can. I mean, it's amazing how on the one hand, evolutionists believe that we're basically no greater than animals. But on the other hand, they think that they don't have to listen to their creator. It's quite the contradiction there. Contrary to animals, though, even though we die like animals, we have a much greater hope. And our hope is in the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can read all about that. That's the one hope given to mortal man in the New Testament, Mr. Armstrong writes on page 10. You will not find any scriptures about a bird or an elephant being resurrected from the dead. Animals, when they die, are truly dead forever. Humans, when they die, are truly dead as well. They don't go up to heaven or down to hell at this time. But at least they do have a chance to live again, unlike the animals. Now, this entire time in this program, we've basically been talking about evolution. And we've been refuting the notion that human beings get to decide the way they live. Like we always talk about on this program, we have to understand that God is in charge. We prove that he exists, then we obey what he tells us to do. And in reality, it is God who has established the institution of marriage, the institution of sex, the institution of family. Otherwise, we are free to do whatever we want to in those areas. Now, when we think about marriage, there are obviously quite a few physical benefits from it. A happily married family is a stable family. The children are raised the right way and in a safe and peaceful environment. And they have a better chance at success because of that environment they were raised in. The statistics prove that all the time. But the real beauty of marriage is the spiritual parallels. There are so many parallels between this physical realm and the spiritual realm that we cannot see, inhabited by God and Christ and millions of angels, but also Satan and the rebellious angels who became demons. the spirit realm really is more real than the physical realm. It's existed infinity times longer than all the rest of us. The spirit realm is the reason that the physical realm exists. And when we think of the good spirit realm, at least, it can be distilled down to one word: family. God is a family. You can see this on page 10 of the Why Marriage Soon Obsolete booklet. And Mr. Armstrong gives a great example of this. He says here on page 10, "I am of the Armstrong family. We have had 4 children. I am Armstrong. My wife was Armstrong also from the moment she married me. Our son is Armstrong. He is my son. I am Armstrong and he is Armstrong. We are 2 different persons, but we belong to the one family. Our son Richard David was a different person, but he also was Armstrong and part of the Armstrong family. The one Armstrong family. So we were one family, but we were 6 persons." I find this example so inspiring because think about a physical family. There's no automatic limit to how big a family can get. There are families out there that are 15, 20 people large. And that is an inspiring parallel. When you think about that spiritually, what about the God family? It's certainly not limited to God and Jesus Christ. And contrary to what a lot of people would believe with the Trinity doctrine, the Holy Spirit's not part of that at all. But right now, the God family consists of 2 members, God and Christ. And yet there is no limit to how big that family can get. And really what it comes down to is how well we live in our families today, how well we prioritize developing our physical families and making them as much of a replica of the spiritual family as we possibly can. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, you'll see that the entire purpose of marriage on the physical level is to copy the marriage between Jesus Christ and his church. There is only one true church that will be transformed into a body of spirit beings when Christ returns. And Christ will marry them. And they'll rule the universe together forever. That is the ultimate marriage, and that's what all of our marriages should picture. Now, this is just a quick overview of the Why Marriage Soon Obsolete booklet, which you can find at thetrumpet.com. Notice, we only just affirmed the importance of marriage. We didn't really talk about how to have the best marriage possible. We have a lot of other literature that we'll get into about that. But we first must establish that marriage matters, that it is an institution that should last forever. That's what we have attempted to do today. Let's look at page 30. We'll just give a quote or two from the end of the booklet. This is Mr. Armstrong writing. "Man's stupendous potential is to enter divine family life. Man's super colossal reason for being is to be married to Christ." So that is a wonderful potential. It says that marriage is of God. It's not of human beings. It's of God. And that's why it's so important to us. Well, thank you for listening today. Next week, I'll be discussing the Philadelphia Church of God booklet, God is a Family. Until then, I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.